8:31 on my computer.
We can get started. Everyone is here.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the Desert Healthcare District Finance, Legal, Administration, and Real Estate Committee meeting to order at 3:31. I need a motion to approve the agenda. Is there such a seconded by?
Second.
By Letty, moved by Les Zendel. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, is there any public comment at this time, Andrea?
There's no public.
No public is here today. Do have public, but no hands raised.
Okay, so I'll just read the memo at this time. Comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within subject matter, jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Based on that, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
So moved. By acclamation, the agenda has been approved. Conrado is not here.
Yes, he is.
Oh, yeah, there he is. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
He can't see because of all the books behind him.
Being learned is an attribute even in today's society. It used to be more valuable, but not today. In any event, Conrado, you're welcome to introduce today's agenda from your perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Chair of this committee, Director Shore. We have an agenda before you that will address a number of financial issues that are routine, and one item that we will address at the end of this meeting is a revision of employees' job descriptions, and very especially their classification as exempt or non-exempt, as we had these reviewed by our legal counsel and by an outside legal counsel that it specializes on this. So we will present that to you in a few minutes.
Okay. Any other comments about the vaccination program, Conrado?
The vaccination program that we are helping unfold in the eastern part of our district is being very successful, and it's very unique. It's being considered a model for the rest of the United States. It seems that we are the only place in the US that is prioritizing the most vulnerable of our essential workers, which is the food chain, the people that are providing food for our tables and that are in the back of the line everywhere else in the US. And we are pioneering bringing them to the front of the line and making sure that they are protected, that they keep our economy vibrant and our community is healthy. It's the intersection of health and the economy.
Excellent. Yeah, and you, if I'm not mistaken, you also mentioned we're beginning to get some national television and press coverage, which is impressive. Thank you.
Yeah. We have had Reuters, CNN, CNN International, NBC National, the New York Times, they were here the entire week last year, and they send a new crew this week. And we have been providing them with information about the efforts that we are helping undertake along with the other nonprofit organizations and with the partnership of the county.
And if I'm not mistaken, Telemundo as well, as I recall from an earlier report.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, excellent. Good news. It says it all. Thank you, sir. The Chief Administration Officer's report, Chris, you're welcome for the floor.
Okay. And we did approve the minutes, or did I miss that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. So Regarding the Las Palmas Medical Plaza, just a quick update regarding the landscape renovation and fire alarm electrical connection project that we have going on over there. Don't know if anybody has driven by recently. They have been in the process of demolition, removing a significant amount of plant life and removing all the old rock or gravel in the landscape area. Just over by there today, and they have started trenching to get ready for the irrigation that will be going in. So that project is well underway. Have not heard any complaints from any of the tenants regarding any inconveniences and such. I'm sure that everybody will be very pleased when it's all complete and how nice it will look. So,
and it's on schedule?
It is on schedule, so yes. So this week is supposed to be trenching for irrigation and that, and they're estimated to be completed by the end of March or early April, so.
Okay, thank you. Any questions regarding LPMP?
The other thing that we have regarding, just wanted to give a quick update on the vacancies at the Medical Plaza. So currently we still have 3 suites that are available. We have a couple of lease renewal proposals coming up in this meeting. We do have a little bit of interest from Borrego, who is looking to, and Conrado can maybe give more detail to this, that may be looking to take over Dr. Fazzuni's practice.
Already taken over.
It has already been taken over? Okay.
Yeah.
And I think we're mostly aware that Dr. Fazzuni ended up into some kind of issues in that. So it's good to know that we have somebody taking over that lease so that we don't lose that financial
resource. So they're already there, Conrado? Borrego's there now?
No, they're not there yet.
They plan on it then.
Yes, they're taking the patients from Dr. Fazzuni into another practice that they have across the street, this Desert Oasis, something or other, which is an OBGYN practice. But they're trying to find a location that is larger so that they can accommodate the patients that they currently have in the building that it's next to the hospital and Dr. Fasuni's practice as well.
Any other questions regarding the Medical Plaza?
Thank you.
I'm sorry? Okay, if not, let's move along and look at the financial reports. Chris, I'd like to start that discussion on page 11, the cumulative variance report, because I assume that covers the detail within all of the other reports and makes it easy to focus in on issues. I would like you to start the discussion, if you don't mind, with some comments about the professional fee expense variance that it is. I understand we have a lower services, but it's a big change, and I'd appreciate your insight.
Yeah, and happy to start there, and then I'll bounce back up to a couple of other line items. We did have budgeted this year for consultant work.
I'm sorry, could you tell me what page that is, please?
11.
Page 11. Okay,
thank you.
So we had budgeted for consultant work, anticipating that we'd be possibly earlier in the process of working with consultant with regard to the tenant lease and that situation. And so we have not incurred any of those kind of costs at this point. So it's a straight line budget allocation, and we may incur some costs later in the fiscal year. But right now we have not expended any of the budget that we have for those consultant pieces.
Excellent. Okay. Okay. Why don't you start with the on page 12? Any concerns or issues?
What I'd like to point out We can go to 12 is essentially kind of the same as 11. Just 11 had more explanation and detail to it.
Right. May I suggest that, Chris, that you stay on page 11 and just see if anybody has any questions to any of the variances. And then if we need to go to other pages to explain them, you can. Otherwise, we're going to be going back and forth.
I would agree. Just keep going forward from here.
What I'd like to point out, though, and on the 4,000 income line, last month we talked about the property taxes where we normally incur the, or we book the revenue based on a flat line allocation over the 12 months. So it doesn't show any variance. So we decided that since we are actually receiving a fair amount more of actual property taxes received than what we had budgeted, that we would convert that to our actual this month. So we have $574,000 above what our projected budget is for the year to date. So that's coming through on that line. The negative number there, though, is actually coming from our investment account, which we've talked about previously, that with the investment rates, the discount rates, and that on bonds is just not good right now. So we're earning interest, but we're kind of taking a beating on the rates. So there's that. The direct expenses line 5,000. That's a function of vacancies in our staffing. The grant expense we talked about before, that we will be looking at doing more grants going forward through the program committee, but that presently is significantly under what our budget is for the year to date.
I have a question. Do most of our health insurance and other, for lack of a better word, personal benefit things, do those rates go by our fiscal year or the calendar fiscal year in terms of rate increases and things? I'm thinking specifically of health insurance. Did that go up January 1st or does it also go July to June?
The increases are on a calendar year basis for the actual premiums.
And did they go up significantly and was that already budgeted in?
We did budget a little increase in. The medical insurance did go up. However, the dental and vision has held constant for the last 3 or 4 years.
And the deductible resets every January 1 for the...
Every calendar year, yes.
Every calendar year, okay. Any other questions regarding income and expense?
Oh, on that same front, but related to the staff, did healthcare costs go up to staff, and did we take that into consideration?
Yes, that was what was just indicated, that the medical insurance did go up January 1, and we do have reflected some increase in our annual budget for that.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure that applies.
And it's quite a bit under overall because of the three vacant positions that were budgeted but have not been filled.
But we haven't changed benefits at all to the employees.
No, nothing has changed. The annual premium increase that occurred is okay. What it is, but we do have budget to cover it.
Okay. Any other questions related to the P&L, the profit loss statement? Okay, on the balance sheet, any issues or thoughts about the balance sheet? I have some, and I'll reserve mine until anybody else has a thought or issue.
I have none.
Letty?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, Chris,
no, I'm good.
In looking at this, how complicated would it be to add I'm looking at page 16 to be specific. If you were to add another column to this that would literally mimic this year, last year, so that we have a sense of the trending, if you will, of these items, and not to complicate it, whether a year to date doesn't make sense in this sense, because balance sheets are in the moment, and I appreciate that. But what about when an additional column so that we can see what, if any, movement of significance occurs?
We can do that. Not sure how much benefit that presents, but certainly we can provide that.
Why don't we try it for a month and see if anybody has a reaction to it?
Rather than a year ago, I would think that if you started the first of the fiscal year, and then if you wanted to have another column, in other words, one column would be where we are now, and then the next column could just be historical, where we started the fiscal year, so people could see if there was any change plus or minus from the beginning of the fiscal year. I wouldn't go 12 months back. That's not really relevant.
Well, I'll leave that decision to Chris.
To be honest, Arthur's suggestion is a much easier proposition, because it's going to be a lot of manual manipulation to take the current January and have it side by side to July 1st.
Okay, so you'll just have go back 12 months and look what it was and what it was.
It's just an anchor point. It really, the relevance of it is marginal, to be honest with you. An anchor point.
We can look at it, but to be honest, it's not going to.
Right. It's not going to change very much at all.
Well, and it's the things that do change. To me, there isn't a whole lot of relevance, but right, I think it's a good point that we can look at it next month and see if it's beneficial to the committee.
Well, actually, I made this recommendation in the spirit of Mark Matthews, because this is something you see on proprietary balance sheets and not a not-for-profit balance sheet. You see comparisons for the net equity of the owners of the organization. So, but anyway, I just thought it'd be an interesting anchor point for us. That being said, let's move along beyond the balance sheet. We have the issue of aged accounts receivable. Are there any issues there worthy of note, Chris, or concerns by anyone?
No, let me just point out that let me go back. So Mark Matthews, the director of premiums, that's been paid in February. Sovereign, that's the $750 a month that we receive from the condo units that we were talking about last month.
Right.
He does at some point, or sometimes tend to run behind 3 or 4 months. At this point in February, he has caught up, with the exception of he's behind really one month and getting closer on the second month. But the point is that he's becoming quite a bit more current.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Moving along. We have the tax receipt, the deposit, any deposit issues of any concern? I would think not. But looking at the receipts for 7 months ended.
Significant amounts of tax receipts in the month.
Right. Exactly. And the deposit detail beyond that. The check register, which usually gets some oversight by any issues relative to that. The large disbursements are clearly are the exception of QuickBooks, are classical disbursements to our vendees. Any questions in the check register?
Sorry, my Medicare premiums are so high.
They are what they are.
Part of the 10,000 reimbursement.
Yeah. Okay. Credit card expenditures seem to be very nominal this month. Limited to direct expenses to support the wealth, the well-being of the board members so they don't starve to death. But wasn't that money redirected to the employees, if I'm not mistaken, or was this the month that occurred for the holiday cards?
Well, you'll see the holiday cards on the page 28.
Yeah.
But the board meeting food, that's for whoever of the directors and staff that are actually receiving those $25 food deals. Some of the employees are not opted out of that. I'm not sure if all the directors are getting it, but anyway, that's for those that are partaking in that.
Right. Okay. Any other questions related to the check register? And we had a little bit of moving on to the retirement protection plan. We had a reduction of one this month.
That a net reduction of one. We did have two in the active column or the active line that actually have at this point left employment of the hospital. One has been completely paid out and the other one moved to the vested, but unpaid. So you'll see the reduction of two on the active, an increase of one on the vested, and then the net minus one because there was one paid out. And we're seeing a couple of more, I think. So, well, actually there's some that are in process that Eric's been working with that waiting for some paperwork back on. I think we've got two or three or four in that category right now.
Yeah, there's three pending.
Okay, thank you. Grants, are there any issues on the grants that are worthy of discussion? Chris, Donna, that want to make any thoughts of that worthy of comment out of the ordinary?
No, just that if you see the total grants outstanding of 9 million, 8.3 million of that is the CV Link monies and that. So we have about 1.3 million that's in current outstanding grants aside from CBED.
Okay. The Laboratory Corporation of America.
Okay, so we've been working with LabCorp on a new lease since forever and ever, it seems. But we are finally to a culmination. We have brought prior versions to the Finance Committee for approval. They've gone to their legal people and they wanted some revisions made. So between their legal counsel, our legal counsel, we have worked through any issues. Our legal counsel is very comfortable with it. They are now doing, I believe it's a 5-year lease, and the terms are good. $1.59 a square foot. Actually, I'm sorry, it's a three-year lease, forgive me. Our normal annual increase is 3%. They requested a 2.5%. Which that's what we're proposing in this lease for consideration. And then we are providing $15 per square foot for TI work. And there was, we always recommend that the tenant does the fire sprinkler improvement when they're doing their own TI work, but they would prefer not to do that, so which is works okay for us too. They will accommodate for our process to come in and do that fire sprinkler installation. So, and just a caveat to that, we are in process of working through a public bidding process on the sprinkler installation inside the buildings of the remaining suites that require that. So that will come at a later date. So okay. We're asking the committee to approve this lease agreement.
Okay, you know, I'm a little out of order. Before we take that under consideration, if I can solicit a motion to accept the financial reports as submitted.
So moved. We lost Letty, I guess.
So I'll second that motion. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So that's passed. I'd now like to solicit a motion on Chris's recommendation that we accept the lease.
I'd like to ask some questions first before I make a motion.
Sure, go right ahead.
My only question is this market value, if that's the right term? And the only reason I bring it up is we know that medical practices and other things have really suffered during COVID. The one thing that hasn't suffered is LabCorp. And I'm just wondering, in the scheme of things, not that we should take advantage of that, but at least I'd want to know that what we're charging them, including lowering the annual increase, is in the market, is market driven.
Yeah, the $1.59 a square foot is there. I mean, with our 3-year leases, we're typically doing those at $1.55. So the $1.59 is there. I think we could be in line to do another market research or a rent study, just kind of see where we're at, especially with the change in times with the pandemic, or we could kind of wait till we get through it and see where we're at. I mean, I agree with you, Lab cores of the world, they're doing very well during the pandemic. As we've experienced, some of our tenants have had a little bit more challenge, the actual providers. So, but I think they're coming back around, especially since they're able to do, more telehealth appointments and that sort of thing. So,
well, then based on the staff recommendation and the legal overview, then I'll move that we accept it.
Okay, I would like to second it, but before I do that, a thought just crossed my mind. Chris, is there an update as it relates to the check processing costs that we've considered?
That's on the agenda. We will discuss that coming up.
Well, where do you see it on the agenda?
It's actually in the policy committee, I believe. No, I'm sorry, it's under bank fees.
Number 3.
Oh, there it is, okay. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Okay, so I'll second Les's motion to accept the lease recommendation as proposed by staff. In favor, say aye.
You might want to ask if there's public comment since it's a motion, even though I'm sure the one person in the public won't say anything.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is passed. The sleep treatment, the sleep study program, Chris.
Okay, so in this particular suite, we've had a long-term tenant there, Dr. Congress, through Desert Oasis Healthcare. His lease expires the end of this month. I believe he is in the process of retiring, is my guess, and will not be renewing the lease. In that space, he's had a sublease to a company called Sleep Treatment Partners that do sleep studies. And they would like to look at doing a long-term lease with the healthcare district. However, currently their financial situation was more challenged because sleep studies are pretty difficult to do during this COVID time. Since we are having some challenge with leasing space right now, the proposal is to do a short-term lease with the organization. They do have the ability to do some phone consultations and that at this point, and would like to maintain the suite. And so our consideration is to cover the CAM charges, which would be $550 per month. We're looking at it as a 6-month temporary lease with a 30-day opt-out clause for either party. They will allow us to show the suite if there's interest from any other parties for a long-term lease. And they would, we would probably give them opportunity for first right to a lease if that does happen. So we're just asking, since the lease potential, or since the suite could potentially remain vacant if they both move out, this may be a way to at least keep the suite occupied with a little bit of income.
I move we accept the proposal.
Seconded. I'll second that. All in favor? Oh, Letty's back. Letty, you have a chance. Did you have a chance to listen to that discussion?
Letty? Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we're looking for a second. Are you capable of that? Are you on mute?
Fingers up. That's as close you're going to get.
That's a second. Oh, we'll consider that a second on the on today's trying times. Thank you very much. The issue is adjusted, and now we can get on to the bank fee agenda.
We actually need to vote. Arthur.
Well, I thought we did vote on it.
No, you just got a second.
All right. All in favor of this accepting the lease as recommended by staff?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, a motion is passed unanimously. And it's an amazing decision. Okay, moving right along to the bank.
Should we go back to the other one that I missed the vote on? It had to do with the LabCorp. Did you take action?
Yeah, we passed everything in your absence, knowing that you might be problematic.
Okay, that was fine. I voted yes.
You want an update?
I want to vote yes.
Madam Secretary, would you adjust the vote to demonstrate that vote too was unanimous? And we can now move along with everyone's permission and agreement to the bank fee agenda.
Okay, so the last, I think, couple of meetings, maybe even further beyond, there's been discussion about the bank fees that the district is charged for essentially credit card payments by the tenants paying their lease payments. That has gone up significantly, mostly because we've had some additional tenants who have converted to the credit card payment process. It's become a significant charge each month. We've done a little work, a couple of things going on. We've done a little work. Eric has reached out to Intuit, who handles the charge on our side, which has been previously 3.96%, was able to get that reduced to 2.75%, which reduces our monthly expense by approximately $650. Also discussed with Director DeLara and what they are doing at RAP, spoke with their staff. They currently have one candidate that pays by credit card. However, they pass on their internal fees to the tenant. So with guidance from the committee, the suggestion would be to pass on these expenses to the tenant and allow them to pay for those fees going forward in the leases. We would incorporate language regarding that. They can then also have the option to pay by EFT or ACH payments. So if the committee would like us to do that, we will put together a letter to send out to the tenants that are currently charging the fees, or that we're getting incurring the fees from, and pass those fees back on to the tenant.
Okay. Any thought? And this just, you know, in the grander scheme of things, I thought we had a brief discussion of looking at the charge throughs, the overhead. I forget the terminology. I'm blocking on the terminology. that we charge our tenants. This was the thought, was to incorporate this into that. And I think we talked about taking a look at reviewing those pass-throughs for appropriateness in terms of maybe those have increased somewhat.
Pass-throughs meaning the CAM charges?
Yeah, CAM. Yeah, that's it. The CAM charges.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can do that because these charges are specific to a tenant that is paying on credit card, and I don't think it's fair to assess those charges to all.
No, that's not what I mean, Chris. I thought this kind of stimulated a thought to look at all CAM charges for appropriateness.
Well, we analyze the CAM charges annually.
Okay.
And so we will be in that process this month. So we look at the CAM charges each annually, and then any excess in the 62 cents a foot that we currently charge the tenants, the lease agreement allows for billing anything in excess to the tenants.
Okay, we accept the proposal.
There's no action on this item, if I'm not mistaken.
It's informational. Unless there's any objection to it, we will proceed with putting together a letter.
Right. And the CAM charge issue will appear next month. Is that your intention?
Say that again.
The CAM charge analysis, you say it's an
annual? Yeah, we can bring that next month. Yes.
There's no rush. I just want to know when you plan to do it.
We would have it by then, yes.
Okay. Thank you. The last item on the agenda is the job description. Is that going back to Conrado for discussion or?
Yeah, I think Conrado, do you want to take that or?
No, please. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. All right. So we've done quite a lengthy process with this, or very in-depth process with this. So there's been extensive work with Maggie Martinez, who is our human resource external consultant, that has done significant work on the actual job descriptions. So you will see the actual job descriptions in the packet. But in addition to that, we wanted to do an internal or a review of the actual exemption status of each employee, which the exemption status, if they're considered an exempt employee, they are not subject to overtime payments for anything over 40 hours a week. If they're classified as non-exempt, then they do receive time and a half for any hours worked over the 40 hours a week. And so we did a little bit of an internal process with that, but to verify and to have a good solid backup to that, the district engaged with Cassidy Liebert Whitworth, which was recommended by Jeff Scott, our legal counsel. They did an extensive analysis that you will see in the packet, which determines the FLSA status, which is the Federal Labor Standards Act, for each of our staff members. And so you'll see that each job description now includes that FLSA status for each job description. So we will be complying with that, or ensuring that we're covered in that regard. So I think we have four positions out of the total of 13, which includes the three vacant positions that are non-exempt positions.
The remainder are okay.
The remainder are exempt.
Any questions related to this part, this agenda item, folks?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I don't have any problem with any of this document. I think it's good, and I'm glad we're doing it. But it got me thinking about something, and I kind of wish Jeff were on the call. I wondered how this relates as we go through job descriptions to what we talked about last month, either here or at the board meeting, about the essential workers during the pandemic. And is there any overlap? And I guess that's the question. Is there any overlap, and what implication do our job description have with any other increased responsibilities we might be asking of our employees based on their being declared essential workers during the pandemic?
Well, the job descriptions don't specifically say that, you know, people are out working during the pandemic. However, the job descriptions do include language that covers any additional, essentially any additional tasks or duties as assigned. So that covers, you know, any additional work activities that are assigned, but are also then approved by the board in those processes if needs be.
I mean, again, I'm thinking of, there's been a lot of talk in the last week about teachers going back to school and how some of them are objecting because of the risk of COVID and saying that it's not in their job description, et cetera, et cetera. And it becomes a legal issue, and therefore relying on the legal document, the job description, I think is important. Again, none of us are lawyers, although I do watch Law and Order a lot, but I wonder if it's a relevant issue.
Well, let me broaden that question just a little bit. And Corrado, you might want to weigh in on this specifically. Assuming everyone gets two vaccinations in a reasonable time frame, is there any intention or discussion to bring folks back to the office, or is the plan to continue with distance working activities as we are now doing?
I think we are vigilant of what is happening across the state, and we will be very prudent in making any decisions of going back into an enclosed space unless it's absolutely safe and necessary.
Arthur, can I just say, it's got very little to do with the vaccine. It has to do with the herd immunity of the community, which is partially related to the vaccine. But whether or not we open the office is not related to whether our employees get vaccinated or not. It's more about how much virus is in the community.
Thank you.
Well, and that's a good point, because from an employer standpoint, we cannot ask each employee, or we cannot say that, okay, everybody's been vaccinated. We can't ask those questions, unfortunately, in my opinion. But so what we've been guided is that since we don't know necessarily if each individual has been vaccinated or not, that we're going to need to continue for a period of time to continue to wear, if we do end up back in the office, wearing face coverings, do the social distancing in a sense, and hand sanitizing, washing, et cetera, until I think what you're saying, Les, where there's more
immunity.
To where there's more confidence in that, because there's still without knowing that for sure, and if things are still in a flux regarding the virus, that's the situation that we're going to have to be dealing with if we're all brought back to the office.
That's fine. All right, and to move the agenda, excuse me, is there any other?
I want to say that it seems that herd immunity.
You broke up. We lost you after herd immunity.
Still not.
Conrado?
We can't hear you, Conrado.
I'm back.
Conrado, we lost after herd immunity. Can you repeat your comment, please?
I think you've been muted, Conrado. Even though you're not muted on the Zoom, you're muted. We can't hear you.
So we heard you say herd immunity, and then we lost you. Now I think he's frozen on top of it all.
He's moving. Just
maybe what Conrado was going to say. Maybe what Conrado was going to say is it may be a long time before we have herd immunity.
Yeah, that's more than likely. Yeah.
And that we're going to be wearing masks and socially distancing for a long time, at least through the summer, maybe into the fall.
Well,
by the way, that doesn't mean we can't be back in the office. It just means that they're going to have precautions taken.
Okay. Conrado, can you talk, Conrado? You're muted, Conrado.
I think whatever I'm suffering through, it's moving its way through the valley.
It's contagious, and there's no vaccine for it.
Okay. All right, I'd like to call the question on the acceptance of the job descriptions as recommended by staff and our consultants.
I move approval.
So do I hear a second for this?
Yeah, I'll second it.
All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Mr. Aye. Dr. Zendel, aye. Motion approved unanimously. There's no other business on the agenda for the committee. I'd like to move for adjournment. Anybody have anything that would preclude moving to adjournment? As such, the meeting shall be adjourned at 4:17 p.m. And I'd like to immediately move to convene the Desert Healthcare Foundation meeting, and that will start at 4:17.
Can we start now?
Yeah, unless there's a reason for a break. Does anyone require a break at this point?
No, it just means because it's noticed for 4:30, do we have to wait till 4:30?
No, we don't have to. Do we?
In the past, we have just moved beyond and
from the district, I don't know. I just
yeah, I don't want to get arrested now because we started too early. This would be...
Wait a minute.
Actually isn't a time indicated. Maybe you're referring to it says will be held at 3:30. It probably should say immediately after, but maybe you're thinking about the policy committee.
Right.
I'm sorry, you're right. I was thinking of policy.
My heart rate just went up. I saw guys with big black hats on the corner.
I thought I had missed a lot more. I'm sorry. I thought you guys were already done with it. So, okay.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you. I'd like to call the foundation meeting to order at 4:18, given the delay caused by the inappropriate commentary. But that's okay. Do we have an approval of our prior agenda for the month of December?
So moved. Second.
And a second. All in favor, say aye or raise your hand. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we shall accept the agenda as published. Is there any public comment, Madam Secretary? We lost Madam Secretary. I will read the public admonition at this time. Comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on the agenda, on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion or action. Is there any other, Madam Secretary, do we have any public comments?
No public comments.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to move forward with the review of the January 12, 2021 minutes.
Are the minutes be approved?
Okay, seconded and approved. All in favor, say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay, the motion is carried by approval. Mr. CEO, Dr. CEO, if you wouldn't mind comment to the extent that you have a report at this time.
No, nothing. Thank you.
No report, sir. Mr. CFO, would you like to discuss the financial reports?
We can go to page 4. And essentially, you know, we're in line with everything we're doing here. You'll see the grants line 4003, as well as line 8051 down below. Those are significantly over budget, but those are related to essentially the pass-through grants that we've been receiving from the CARES monies and also the Public Health Institute monies. Otherwise, you can see that in the third column from the right, we have a net income of $116,000, so we're ahead of what our budget was by $287,000 year to date.
Okay. Any other questions related to the financials? Any issues related to the check register? Chris, in fact, maybe my comments about the balance sheet are much more meaningful for the foundation than it is for the district, just in terms of where the money is. What are your thoughts on that? Or should we just do it on both of them?
We can do it on whichever one you want. I personally don't see the real benefit to it, but like I I think we should do it for the committee. The committee sees benefit, then we're happy to do it.
All right, well, let's try it. Well, let's do it on the district then, and we'll see if there's any consequence to it.
So you'd like to see, why don't we see both of them then, and then the committee can determine if it's something.
If it's relevant, right. Fair enough. Okay, any issues related to the credit card expenditures, which were nominal for this month, beyond nominal? Nothing of consequence, grant issues, are there anything extraordinary or outstanding relative to the grant issues? Donna, you're welcome to comment if you have any comments. None heard. Okay, I will assume that this is ready for a motion for approval of the financial report.
I have one other comment, Director Shore.
Yes, sir.
Page 7, I think, is a good report for us to kind of keep an eye on, because what this does is it monitors what our financial resources that we have essentially in the bank that covers our commitments. So if you look at the restricted funds column, that is taking a good portion of our assets. So if you look at the total assets line about halfway down the page, and you go over to the general fund component versus the restricted funds, we've got $5.4 million of our financial resources of our $7.5 million that are committed to our grants that are down on the bottom section.
What does TB stand for?
I'm sorry?
What is the top?
Trial balance.
I don't know what that means.
That's an accounting term.
Trial balance just shows the balances at a point in time for each of our general ledger accounts. So it's kind of like the balance sheet, a different term for it.
Okay, and effectively what this report is teaching us is that you have the expenses that you're anticipating for the year covered covered as demonstrated, effectively.
Well, and what I also wanted to reflect is that even though we say that we have $7.5 million in our accounts, that $5.4 million of that was already committed to grants. And so what I don't want people to look at is, hey, we've got this huge bucket of money in the foundation that's not already earmarked.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other issues relative to the financials?
I have a question on page 9. On page 9, the check register, the payment that was made to Alejandro for $11,416, what was that?
Alejandro is doing a lot of expense with regard to the test sites and now converting to the vaccination sites. A lot of expense with regard to signage, promotion, you know, a lot of things going on with that.
That's a reimbursement check?
Costly. So it's a reimbursement check for expenses that he has incurred in that process.
And that money is coming as a pass-through from the county, correct? The extra
$200,000. Yeah, well, part of it's being covered by the pass-through from the CARES monies. Those expenses that are not covered with that are coming through what we repurposed from the Ready, Set, Swim monies that were designated to help us with these functions.
So then on the previous page or on page 7 then, do you distribute them to the general fund versus restricted funds expenses depending on where they're from?
Well, the actual expenses incurred are not on the balance sheet, but they are...
They would come from those
on the income statement. Actually, if we want to go back just briefly to page 4, if you were to look at the line 5102, about 3/4 of the way down, says DHCD expenses for COVID CARES. Those are expenses that are associated with what we're talking about here.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Any other questions regarding the financial statement?
Should we accept the report?
The only comment that I had about Alejandro's money is that that's a lot of money to expect them to pay out of pocket. So I hope we've reimbursed them pretty quickly. So
he is, but you know, quite honestly, on the flip side, in some ways it should be our credit card, but Alejandro is benefiting from some mileage or points.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
he's being reimbursed first timely. He does not have any issue with.
Okay.
I mean, if you want, you can use my airline credit card, and then you can reimburse me. You can use my credit card. You can reimburse me.
And just so you know, there's another $15,000 that was just reimbursed this month so far.
Okay.
How much? Say anything. I didn't hear you.
$15,000.
Okay, and we don't need a policy about recapturing employee miles at this time.
One of the expenses that we're incurring as part of that is we are renting a pickup for Alejandro to use with this process. So he's hauling things around from test site to test site, and it's just a better way to do it versus him trying to. He was initially renting a U-Haul truck when needed, but now that it's almost a full-time thing that's going on, the rented vehicle is much more efficient and less costly way to do this. So we're paying about $1,100 a month to rent that pickup, plus whatever the gas that goes into.
So should we be leasing a truck, do you think?
We are.
At $1,100 a month?
No, we're renting.
We're renting it, but I mean, how long are we going to do a lease? I mean, a lease you about have to do for 2 or 3 years.
That was my question. Do you foresee this as in a long term agenda?
I think we were looking at it as a few months.
Okay. Yeah, then it makes no sense to lease. I would agree. Any other issues relative to the financials before we move to accept?
I made a motion to accept.
And all in favor, say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is carried. Other matters? Anyone have any other matters besides me? I'm going to ask in terms of a question based on my ignorance. But given the fact that Dr. Barzaga is going to be making a public presentation on February 11th, can I assume that the district, through Will or whomever, as appropriate, has properly promoted this in the community, or do we only do it after the fact, or do we not do it at all, given that he was invited to discuss the state of affairs of the district, of us, and the healthcare district and foundation in a public session? Is it being promoted properly?
It would be up to the sponsoring organization to promote it if they choose.
What about, why can't we promote it?
Well, if they ask us to, we could, but we can't do it without their permission.
Why?
Because it's their event.
It's our speaker. It's our speaker.
They would probably like the fact that we were promoted, but I don't know what you're talking about. So could you tell me where he's speaking at on February 11th?
February 11th at 5 o'clock at Temple Sinai in Palm Desert.
Oh, okay.
And I can't see any reason why we shouldn't have take the initiative to promote it. I think Letty's absolutely right that the sponsoring organization would be more than happy to have any and all ears and eyes and faces participating in that Zoom presentation. So
may I raise an issue, please?
Well, I'm not sure about whether or not you can raise an issue, but under the circumstances, go ahead.
So when some organizations, especially synagogues, have Zoom meetings, they require to know who is Zooming in, because there have been many cases of hacking and things like that. So it would have to be somebody requesting to join the meeting and then be accepted by the organization. So I think before we publicize it, and I'm not saying we shouldn't publicize it, but we need to check with the sponsoring organization to see what their policy is about people Zooming in.
Good point. I can tell you, being a member of that organization and the person who's going to be introducing Conrado, that has not been a requirement of this temple for this issue. But I think your point is well taken and should be incorporated into our protocol for the acceptance of any one of us who speak at on behalf of the organization to one, promote the distribution through our PR mechanisms, and to respect Les Sendel's admonition about making sure we don't overstep our bounds. But I think we should do both. And I'd like the minutes to reflect that, if you don't mind, Madam Secretary. Is there any other new business to come before the committee tonight? I would invite you all to Temple Sinai at 5 o'clock on Friday, on Thursday, to hear our fearless leader present on behalf of the district. Nothing further. I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn. So
can I please ask that the Zoom information be sent for Thursday night, please? Thank you.
I will take the initiative to see that that's done and sent to everybody in the organization. The board members. Okay. Are there any other business before the committee? We stand adjourned, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your participation tonight.
Andrea, we need to sign out of this into the new meeting, correct? They're separate?
Yes.
That is correct, yes.
Okay, goodbye, everybody. See you in 2 seconds.
Yeah, hopefully I don't get disconnected.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.